Mary knew exactly how her life was going to unfold. Those decisions had already been made. She hadn't made them. She didn't have any control over it. But she knew exactly how it was going to unfold. Because, you see, her father had made arrangements with an older gentleman named Joseph that Mary and Joseph were to be engaged. Betrothed is the word used at the time. It's a legal contract in the ancient world. Though she was just a girl, Roman law said that you could marry at the age of 10. A woman could. A girl could. Many Jewish girls were married by the age of 12. So it's very likely that Mary was quite young when we discover her in this story. But she knew how her life would play out. She was going to marry Joseph after a period of engagement. They would go through the ceremony. She would move into Joseph's house. After a while, God willing, they would have children. If they were male, they would follow their father's trade. He was a tectone, a builder. If they were female, they would really follow her example as she had followed her mother's example previously. And then a stranger arrived. We know he's an angel. Luke lets us in on that. We know his name is Gabriel. We know that from the story of the encounter with Zechariah. But you see, to Mary, when he arrives, he's just a strange man. Strange men are not supposed to be talking to her. They should be talking to her father, maybe her brother, some other male, certainly. If a stranger were to come by, at most he would be asking directions. But this stranger doesn't ask directions. He says something a great deal more intimate, almost offensively intimate. He says, "Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you." How does he know? He doesn't know Mary. Where does he come off saying something like that? But he goes on. He tells the most incredible story. In fact, two incredible stories. One is that Mary's cousin Elizabeth, who is in great old age, I mentioned last week, maybe 40, is going to have a baby who had never had a child, who had yearned for a child, and that Mary was going to have a baby as well. Now, she was not prepared for that. She was engaged, but she was not married. Not only was she going to have a baby, but that baby was going to be a great person, not just another builder. He would not follow his father's trade unless you consider that, as Mary heard from the rabbis, it took three to have a child, a mother, a father, and God. And this time, Joseph was left out of the equation. So maybe this child would follow his father's trade. He would be called the Son of God. Now, Gabriel tells Mary, don't be afraid, but we get no indication from Luke that she was terrified. She was perplexed. She was baffled at all this information, at this message. She was baffled by the fact that even though she was not married, she had never been with Joseph, she was going to have a child. So she asked the obvious question, how can this be? I'm not married yet. I've not been with Joseph. How can this be? Well, you see, there were stories in the Greek tradition about gods coming down and mating with humans, but this is not that kind of story. Many of those stories are violent, coercive. No, Gabriel says, you see, God is going to breathe through you. God's breath is going to pass through you. The same breath that spoke the word light at creation and there was light. The same breath that spoke the word firmament and there was firmament. Dry land and there was dry land. Male and female. And there they were. God's creative voice would be carried on God's creative breath, and God's word would be planted in Mary and grow in Mary. That's the way it would happen in this case. I imagine she was still perplexed. I would have been, certainly. I'm not sure how much education she had about these things, but this is not the normal way that children were born. But this was not a normal situation. And yet, she says, let it be with me according to your word. Whatever you say that God has asked of me, I will do. Now, to me, that is what is distinctive about Mary. For many people, and through much of our tradition, much has been made of Mary being a virgin. That has been the important thing. And yet, this was nothing new in that day and time. There were a couple of Caesars who had already been born of virgins, if you read their official biographies. Mark never mentions it. John never mentions it. Paul never mentions it. Jesus never mentions it. You know what I think is remarkable about the prophet Mary? Unlike other prophets, she didn't put up an argument. Unlike other prophets, she did not refuse. She didn't say to God like Moses did, hey, I can't talk. She didn't say, as other prophets did, I'm too young. I don't know how to do this. She was perplexed. She asked the obvious question, but when the time came, she said, let it be with me according to your word. I think what is unique about Mary as a prophet is that she was willing to allow God's creative word to be planted in her, to grow in her, to carry it to fulfillment, and to agree to do whatever God asked her to do. To exchange the future that she had imagined would be hers for the future God now dreamed for the whole world. That is what I think is remarkable about this possibly 12-year-old prophet, Mary. Now, as a boy growing up in the Protestant South, I didn't hear much about Mary. I'll be honest with you. I heard the Christmas story read, of course, but there was never a great emphasis placed on Mary or Mary's role. And then I found myself in seminary up in the Chicago area, and I was serving a church on the north side, Broadway United Methodist, right near where our daughter Sarah lives now. In the afternoon, we had an afternoon program for the children in the neighborhood. It was run by a young Filipino woman. All the children were Hispanic. All the children were Roman Catholic. And so I struggled. It stretched my poor, very poor Spanish to help them a little bit, although they were supposed to be learning English, so that helped me a bit. But when we finished their homework, I got to help them with the things they had to memorize to prepare for their church. First of all was the Our Father. I knew that one. I didn't know it by that name. I knew it as the Lord's Prayer, but I knew the Our Father. But there was a different prayer that I had not grown up with. Hail Mary, full of grace, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. I know that because I got to practice it over and over and over and over with those children. And honestly, I had never thought that much about Mary until then. Mother of God. In the Eastern tradition, Theotokos, God-bearer. The one who raised and shaped and formed this man that I claim to follow. After whose life I claim to pattern my life. It was only much later I found out how young she must have been. How remarkable it must have been for this child to say yes to a future that she couldn't even begin to imagine. Now, most of us think we have our futures figured out, at least to some extent. I mean, when we're young, we go to this school, then that school, then that school, then college. And we may stay in Nashville, or we may move to another city, or we may follow our parents' profession, or we may do something else. But it's, you know, we have a pretty good idea where our life is going. And then something happens. A death. A relationship breaks down. A diagnosis. And everything changes. Or a child is born and everything changes. Nothing and no one can prepare you for the birth of a child. And after that first child, you think, hey, I've got this down. Until the second one arrives. Right? And they're completely different. Even if they come from the same gene pool, they're completely different. And you realize how little you know about this thing you've been called into. When we stand here and say that we will be involved in what God is doing with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, we have no idea what we are promising. We have no idea what may be required of us. When we stand with our partner and we say, until death do us part, we have no idea what we are promising, do we? We simply have faith that with God's help, we will be able to do whatever God has asked us to do. And what God has asked us to do is to trade the future that we had imagined, the predictable future that we thought we had down pat, for God's future, which is mysterious, which is unpredictable. The unlikeliest of futures, the unlikeliest of mothers gave birth to the unlikeliest of sons who had the unlikeliest history, life history, for a Messiah winding up being crucified. Sometimes we try to run away from that future. I want to read you a poem. This is by an Appalachian writer, Dana Wild Smith. It's from a book called Christmas in Bethlehem. And Dana has a poem for all the days preceding Christmas from beginning December 1st. And I've been reading one each day as part of my Advent preparation. I'd like to share this one with you because I think it speaks to what we're saying today. She entitles it, What They Said, What They Hoped. This kid was born for trouble. The mom's a child herself. The dad's as poor as Job's turkey. They're up to nothing good, for sure. Three rich strangers came and paid them off in gold. Then they beat feet to Egypt. We've been told the king was so suspicious he sent out soldiers. Yet there's an unearthly sweetness in their boy. Sure, Mary's young, but strong. She had the babe in a barn with only Joseph's working chapped hands to catch him. And she's just fine. Old Joseph's poor, but who more than a poor man knows the score? He surely knew that night he packed and ran that neither earth nor heaven could prepare them for the future they weren't running from, but toward. Sometimes we try to run from God's future. Those of us who've been called into ministry, sometimes we run pretty hard from that calling. Those of you who are called into ministry, and you all are, sometimes you run from that. And sometimes you want to make it just as predictable as you can. And so it's just a matter of coming to church on Sunday and coming to Sunday school on Sunday and doing all the requirements until something happens. And all of a sudden, this predictable future that you imagined has been exchanged for God's future, which is unimaginably mysterious. This is what we're called to open our lives, our minds, our hearts to the future that God is dreaming, not just for us, but for the whole world. To follow the example of the prophet Mary, this girl who was willing to suffer shame. We might be shamed by what we're called to do, Disrespect. We might be disrespected because of the choices we make. Thought to be foolish. Rejected. Because of what God has called us to do. Because God is not dreaming what the rest of the world dreams. God is dreaming something better. And Mary was willing to do whatever it took to make that something better happen. She had no idea that one day she would stand at the foot of a cross and watch this child, this gift of God, crucified like a common criminal. She had no idea that one day this child, as an adult, would sweat beads of blood, pray for this bitter cup to pass, but at the end of the prayer say, "Let it be with me according to your word. Not my will, but your will be done." Wonder where he learned that. Think he might have learned it from his mother?